Bill is such a great guy, such a loved son of our Father. He is our prophetic overseer. He's on our staff. He's just amazing. He's been around the block a long time in the revival world. He's just fun. So, Bill, come on up and release what the Holy Spirit has for you.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. There was something I'm going to get into this in a minute. So there was a situation. You know, I'm in business. I do business for myself, and I do web design and graphic design stuff. And so business has been really slow. So I said, "Oh God, what's going to happen? What's going on? What's going on?" I've always felt very, very peaceful about it. But this is also for you guys. This is for you all. You guys can claim this. And so, and I just said, "Lord, what is going on? Because this seems to be going on and on here a little too long." And when something like that happens out of the ordinary, I know that this can be a really important lesson here. And so the Lord was telling me, he says, and he was reminding me that he is super present. In other words, his presence is above our presence. We experience past, present, and future. He can see our past, present, and future in his presence, where he is at. That's why I call it super present. And the Lord was telling me, he said, "This is what I see in your future." And I could almost see him holding up this thing called, do you remember, I don't know if you remember Romper Room, when Miss Nancy, she would have like that mirror thing. She says, "Romper, stomper, domper, do, tell me who," that kind of a thing. And so and it's like the Lord just kind of picked me, he was looking at it and he says, "And this is what I see in your future." And he said, "I see you being thankful. I see you being successful. I see you being joyful and peaceful." And I was just thinking, you see me, whoa, you know, I was thinking, wow. And so and as I thought about that, I said, so in other words, everything's fine. Everything is just fine. Because you told me that it's fine. Because you saw that it's fine. And then I was thinking, I said, "Lord, may what you see in your kingdom be true here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May that's your super presence, that you see goodness for our future, be here today in my present, in our presence." Anyway, that's this little story. Anyway, there you have it. Oh, okay. So this particular talk is called The Crucible. The Crucible. And I felt like that, you know, the Lord just kind of tells me, he just has been continually telling me or giving me perspective on this great outpouring that we kept hearing about that's going to be coming and whatever. And so the Lord was showed me about a couple of weeks ago this word about the crucible. And then normally what I do is I will write it down. I write to take notes, and then I'll publish it as a word. But I would have not been able to do that. He just hasn't given me the information, but it keeps coming back to mind. And then Brent said, "I want you to share a message," and this is what came up. And so I felt like the Lord was just telling me, he was saying that you know, throughout the ages, he has poured out his Spirit. And he has poured it out, and then he said, so it's like a notch, you know, there's a notch, and he goes, and then he pours out his Spirit, and then another notch, he pours out his Spirit, and then another notch, the charismatic renewal, and then another notch, the Jesus movement, and then another notch, the Vineyard movement, and then another notch, then the renewal, Toronto renewal thing. And then since then, we haven't been hearing any notches. We've been hearing semi-notches, but the Lord was just saying, but this next outpouring is going to be several notches, like that. Like this jump, this exponential jumping into this higher level. And that he is preparing us for this outpouring. That's why it seems like it's taken so long. I mean, this happened, you know, the outpouring of the renewal happened 30 years ago. I was thinking, I said, let me see, when did it happen? Was it, let me see, was it 5 years ago, 6 years? I go, oh, no, no, no. 30, it was 30 years ago. My God, my hair was pitch black back then. It did. I had a black mustache, everything. I look like Cotter, you know? Remember? Welcome back, Cotter. And so I felt like, and it's like the Lord has, you know, in his generosity, has poured out his outpouring on imperfect vessels again and again and again. There have been excesses, you know, there's been corruption, but there's also been amazing, glorious changes across the world. But the Lord, by his generous love, just poured his spirit out on us. Even though he knew that there were imperfections here, he just did it anyway. It was his power to give, his thing to do, and he did it in hope that it would, that we would grow, and we have. We've been growing. And I feel like the Lord was showing me, he says, you know, this next move of me is going to require a greater holiness and an ability to walk in our true identity. And then I was just thinking, oh, great, I'm going to have to do this performance thing. I'll talk about that in a minute. And I felt like the Lord was showing me that it's going to be a genuine walk in our higher selves that's not legalistic, not rule-keeping, not performing for God, and we won't be able to fake it. Because a genuine change will have been taking place in our lives more and more. And it's going to be so natural, it's going to be like second nature to walk in newness of heart, mind, and soul. And I felt like the Lord was showing me, he says, you know, today, we can do today very easily what we couldn't do many years ago in our lives, right? A lot of it, we've grown, we've matured and everything, and now it's just second nature. Mature ways, being responsible, loving, respectful, patient, thoughtful, you name it. And we, without even thinking, and that's what it's going to be like as we walk in this newness and even more genuineness. And I feel like, and I felt like the Lord was showing me, I can just see it right now, that the old is falling away as the new is being revealed. And I felt like the Lord gave me this vision of like the when a baby is being born, and they talk about the baby crowning. In other words, the head is beginning to show through the birth canal. And I felt like that's what the Lord was saying. He was saying, "You guys are crowning. That we are crowning. The body of Christ is currently crowning." Whoosh, that's what he said. And that we're kind of, I talked about emerging like a butterfly. I mean, we were talking about that not too long ago. Coming out of a chrysalis, slowly, the wings are formed. You know, sometimes you can tell, you can see, I think like with the monarch butterflies, you can see it, I think it kind of grows transparent, the chrysalis. And you can see the wings in there. You can see the spots and everything, and the little legs and things. And then it's wriggling out. And I feel like the Lord is showing me that's where we're at. So we're crowning and we're breaking out of the chrysalis. And I feel like the Lord was just saying that we are in the process of being refined day by day more and more. You know, I call this the crucible. I was also thinking of calling it the potato peeler. But I wasn't, I mean, say, where do I want to, do I call it the potato peeler? Bill's message immortalized the potato peeler, you know, or the crucible. And so anyway, the crucible in Proverbs 17, Proverbs 17:3, it says, the crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. And what happens in a crucible, it's like a vessel, and it can withstand the heat, and you put the gold in it, you put the silver, and then they heat it up, and then the stuff rises up, all the impurities rise to the surface, and you scrape it off. And I thought the Lord was saying that we are that gold in that crucible. We are that gold and that silver, that precious metal in this crucible. And he has this fire under us. I'm going to tell you what that fire looks like in a minute. And that gold, he wants to refine the gold that we are, removing the stuff to reveal the gloriousness that we are, his glory and his goodness and his perfection. And that's what he's revealing. And he's getting rid of that stuff, right? The reason why I call it the potato peeler is because, I'll tell you in a minute. there's this other illustration. There's a scripture that says it says, like apples of gold in settings of silver, so it is a good word in right circumstances. And I know that it talks about judgment, about judging the situations. But the Lord just kind of threw that illustration out to me to kind of show me like the settings of silver, like in a ring, when they put a diamond in it, there's a setting, and usually it's platinum. You know, if it's going to be a diamond, it's going to be platinum setting or a silver setting or a gold setting, that kind of a thing. And we are that setting that the Lord is making. It's like he's taking the wood, hay, and the stubble. And this apple of gold or this gold is heaven coming down and setting in this silver, this setting of silver, this setting of precious metal that we are. And heaven is coming down to settle in on us, on this. It's like we are like the landing strip of his glory and presence that he's going to be bringing. And he's clearing out the rocks and everything. You know, on a landing strip, they have to clear out the rocks and things like that, right? So he's clearing out the rocks. Anything for a smooth landing. And I felt like the Lord was showing me every situation that we are in, whatever it is God's furnace and fire to purify us and pretty much to get the lead out. Yeah. And I would just say, you know, it's like the Lord doesn't create the situations to put us in the fire, but he's able to make lemonade out of lemons. It says in Romans 8 that he causes all things to work out for good. But I felt like he was showing me, he says, you know, every single situation that you're in is a fire that's a refining process that's revealing the stuff. It's bringing out, there's two things that come out. All the junk comes out in the fire. All the junk in situations, let's say a bad relationship or difficult circumstances at work or finances or you get a flat tire or your health, something bad happens or that kind of a thing. And what comes up is maybe all the rocks and all the gold. And I was just thinking, wow. I said, you're using every single situation to teach me and to show me, to instruct me, You're able to use them to instruct me and show me wisdom and understanding, and also to help me to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of all the rocks, so I can just say, I don't need these rocks anymore. I don't need this old way of doing things. I don't need these things in my life anymore. I want to walk in the newness of what I am in you, Lord. This is what I want. Every person in our life God uses to help to refine us. And in Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. So those are those relationships. There was a relationship. I was a person who eventually did become a friend. But I remember, here's this person who absolutely drove me insane. He seemed critical, you know, or something. He just basically ground my gears. And I was just, you know, anytime I was around this person, I just felt oppressed. I was feeling oppression, and I felt darkness from this person, like evil. I said, there's evil coming here, because I can feel it. Because every time I go away, I'm just feeling oppressed. So I know that there's evil and darkness on that person. Because he just pissed me off. And so I was just attributing all these things to him, you know, that he was either demonized or who knows what. Until finally, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I'm just getting sick and tired of being sick and tired of just being miserable or being in this state every time I'm around this person. I feel contaminated. I'm sick and tired of it. And I just said, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would help me to stop being in reaction to this person. To stop being in reaction. And when that happened, it stopped completely. And I was just thinking, so it was really all me. I was my own oppression, and I was my own darkness thing, or whatever it was. It had nothing to do with this person. And as it turned out, the reason why, I think, is because we both thought alike. We were very, very similar, you know, and I saw myself in this person. So eventually we did become good friends. Isn't that interesting? But the thing is that a lot of the stuff that we experience is our own reaction, that we have the ability to control it, that we have the ability, we can choose what's going on inside. We have the power over that. And we can ask the Lord, Lord, help me to not be in reaction, you know, but then also, that also means that you have to let go of pride, and that takes a certain amount of humility. And that takes, and it's kind of like I kind of got over my own pride, even my own narcissism, my own self-centeredness, all of these things. So here is this person, God's fire and furnace. Here was the iron sharpening iron. And the reason why I call this, you know, the you know, potato peeler. So I shared this thing about my business. That was part of this whole thing. It was like the Lord was just kind of revealing a little more of my lack of trust or anxiety. That came up and got rid of that, and I took on faith and walked in the newness of faith and trust that I have in him, right? And the reason why I call it the potato peeler is many years ago when I was in college, I lived in a co-op dorm. So you go there, and so you get a discount, but you had to sign up to do certain duties. And I decided to pick the kitchen, to work in the kitchen. And so you go in there, and it was like, the chef said, okay, you're going to be chopping onions. I go, okay, no problem. They're over there. The sacks are there in the refrigerator, and it was this huge refrigerator. And there's piles and piles, bags and bags and bags of onions. I go, oh, my God. So, but they had like a machine. There's actually a machine. You just load the onions in there, and it chops them up. You just kind of unload them in there. Same thing with the potatoes. It looks like a cement mixer, and you get the potatoes, and you dump the potatoes in there, and it has some water running in there. And apparently there's an abrasive in there. And you just turn it on and let it run for a few minutes. If you ran it too long, you get baby potatoes. But it would peel everything off. And that's kind of what the Lord, our lives are like. The Lord, it's kind of like we are in a potato peeler of life. And this abrasive, and it's just rubbing off all the bad stuff. More and more and more. That's kind of what I'm experiencing. So I felt like, you know, I remember when there was a, when the renewal hit, there was an outpouring of God's grace, and it was very powerful. It was just so amazing. And, you know, it was just like everyone was ministering. And some of the people who are a little more legalistic, they're watching some of these immature Christians, or immature, what they call immature Christians, you know, with power flowing through their hands as they were laying hands on people, and they were thinking, how in the world can God be moving through that, you know? And so that kind of a thing. But then also I was thinking, I was feeling kind of bad. I was thinking, Lord, you know, and I know that my sins are ever before you, all my problems and issues, and yet you're moving through me. How is that possible? How can that be? You know, and I say, isn't there that scripture? How can there be good fruit and bad fruit on the same tree? It's impossible, you know. How can, like, you know, clean water and bad water come out of the same spigot? And that kind of a thing, that was my argument before the Lord. But the thing is that, you know, years, you know, decades later, I realized is that God is able to hold everything in his hand. He can hold the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it doesn't faze him one bit. He's able to do that. And so, the Lord just, you know, the Lord told me very clearly. He said, you know, all that stuff that you're dealing with, don't worry about it. It's like they are scabs, like scabs that are going to fall off. In due time, those things will fall away. In due time, all of those immaturities will fall away. Now get to work. Don't look at that anymore. There's people that need healing and blessing and teaching and encouraging. Go do the work. Keep on doing the work. But Lord, you know, I just had this horrible thought or whatever. He says, move on. Keep on going in me. Keep on serving. Keep on doing. Keep on ministering. Keep on keeping on. Just keep on doing everything. I said, okay. Well, as it turns out, it was absolutely true. As I look back at those days and I look at today, I said, I have come a million miles with a lot of behaviors and attitudes and whatever garbage in my own life that has completely fallen away and faded away. And the entire time, the Lord has been using me and loving me and raising me up and again and again and again. And this is what he does for us. He doesn't throw us away. Because he knows, like I mentioned earlier, that super presence, he sees our future, and he sees that we are glorious and pure. That's his heart. That's his vision of us. That's his hope. It's more than hope. Is that he knows it in his knower. That everything is going to be just fine. And I felt like I said, wow. So he's saying the scabs are going to be falling off. And he said it's going to be like the grave clothes off of Lazarus. They're going to be falling off. Just falling off. To reveal your true self and your true nature. And this is what he's doing. He's revealing our true selves and our true natures as we go along. I realize that some of us, and it's easy to be in this place depending on your self-esteem issues, you can see it as the glass being half empty. Well, I'm not there. I'm a terrible person. You know, I did it again. Oops, I did it again. I'm a bad person. Again and again. And it's kind of like, but the Lord is just saying, no, I want you to look at the glass as half full and see it even more than that, that the glass is full and you're full of my glory. You are full of my righteousness. You are my righteousness, just like Esther was telling me that's what the Lord showed me about me. He says, the Lord wanted you to know that you are his righteousness. And the thing is that's the word for all of us in this room, that we are his righteousness. We are full of his righteousness. In Galatians 5:1, it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. He's pulling us more and more out of the slavery that we were, everything that we were enslaved to, he's pulling us out of it. And some of you are feeling, I know that some of you may have some life-dominating issues that are not going away easily, but they will go away. And this is guaranteed, this is how it's going to happen. Always be connected to him. Always be honest. Always bring it to him. Always talk to the Lord about it. And sometimes for some of you, you might be stuck in some, who knows what it might be, whatever it is. And really, the reason why is because you enjoy it, and you need to talk to the Lord about that. You might be saying, oh, no, I don't enjoy it because it's horrible, it's evil, it's an awful thing that I should be doing. Oh, my God, you know. It's like you're trying to prove to the Lord that you really are on his side and that you really, but in really, you enjoy it, and he knows that. And he wants to talk about it. And you'd be surprised. The reason why you enjoy it, I totally understand. From where you came from and for what you had to deal with in life, I can see how this feels good to you. And I understand that. Let's keep talking about it. And as you do, it loses its power over you. It dissolves. It slowly melts away. Like these scabs, they slowly fall away. So that yoke of slavery is broken. And it was broken at the cross, right? It says in Ephesians 4:22, I love these scriptures. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is a certain amount of, what's it called, being proactive and choosing. I just recently published a word on my website at whisperoflove.org. It was called volitional love. Is that we can choose to walk in who we are. That's what this is about. Choosing to walk in who you are. The newness in His way and choosing His way. As we choose His way, you start to experience more and more peace. That's what I've discovered. As I choose to walk in His way, in the way that He's thinking, and in His values, and in how He does it, and His attitude, that somehow I notice that my life begins to change around the edges. The flavor of my life changes. The ambiance in my innermost man begins to change and smooth out. And I feel more content, more peaceful, more calm, more generous, more loving, more kind, more patient as I walk in His way and choose that. Put off the old stuff and choose to stop being cantankerous with people and stop being, I choose to not be a curmudgeon. I choose to be diplomatic and patient and kind and generous instead of a pain. In Colossians 3, I love Colossians 3. I love this chapter. It's just amazing. I love this chapter. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read portions of it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. And it says, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips, and so on and so forth. And In verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with these. So the Lord is in the process of disrobing us of the old to reveal that we are clothed in His glory. That's what these things are. Compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience, amongst other things, are the gloriousness that we are clothed in. And He's calling us, walk in those clothes. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. And as a result, we also get to be ambassadors for Him. All right. And so in Galatians 5:1, it says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about the love chapter, it talks about the first thing it says, that love is patient. It says love is patient, love is kind, love is forgiving, love is long-suffering, love does not seek its own. All of these things is what we are. Those are the things that we are. And you're thinking, I'm not very loving. I said, yes, you are. I said, you've been wrought in Jesus. You belong to Him. You are a new creature. You're a new creation. Therefore, you are loving. Therefore, you are kind. You are good. You are perfect. Every single one of you, all of us. And I know you're thinking, I was like nasty to my friend this morning. How can you say that I'm kind and I'm loving? I said, well, probably. And the Lord, when he sees that kind of stuff, he says, you know what was really going on? Is your feelings were hurt, and you just really do love your friend. You do have love. We do. So anyway, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to have we've had like these, for the ministry time, we have had these tunnels. We've had a fire tunnel. Then we've had a prophetic tunnel. We had like a general blessing tunnel. What other kind of tunnels have we had? Love tunnel. A what? And so then, so I was thinking today, we're going to have a tunnel, but this is going to be called the new creation tunnel. Hoo-hoo. And so what I'd like to do is, like, if I said, okay, I want all the leaders and whatever to come up here, then there'll probably be no one left to go through the tunnel. So probably we just need six of the overseers, pastors, to come on up. And this is what we're going to do. And so I need someone to help me with this thing. Otherwise, I'm going to throw my back out. And we don't want my back to be thrown out. Okay. Whoa. And so I would like six people to come on up. Come on up, six pastors, overseers. Just all we need is just six of you guys, three on each side. And for those of you at home, okay, so anyway, so you those of you at home aren't going to be able to go through this. However, but what I will say to you is that these are some of the things that you are, okay? You are loving. You are kind. You are patient. You are forgiving. You are gracious. You are gifted. You are anointed. You are full of His Spirit. You are a healer. You're a comforter. You are empathetic. You're sacrificial. You are a restorer. You are holy. You are pure. You're a light to the nations. And there's other things in the Bible that describe who you are, your new nature. You are no longer that other thing, all the dark stuff. That's not who you are. That's the old stuff. But the new stuff are these things that I read off and more.